Well, listeners, the package season is winding down, but it didn't come without its annual excitement in some areas. It's always enjoyable. What happened to you, Kim? Any updates?
Well, you know, you say enjoyable, and every year, somebody somewhere has the worst thing that can happen. And you'll get that phone call, or you'll go out to your bee yard and you'll see it, and you know the things that can go. You had one last year. And I'm Kim Flottam.
And we're coming to you from Honeybee Obscura, where we talk once a week on all things beekeeping. And today we want to talk about the good things and the bad things about the package season just passing. It was mostly a good event, wasn't it, Kim?
It was.
You are listening to Honeybee Obscura, brought to you by Growing Planet Media, the folks behind Beekeeping Today podcast. Each week on Honeybee Obscura, hosts Kim Flottam and Jim Tu explore the complexities, the beauty, the fun, and the challenges of managing honeybees in today's world in an engaging and informative discussion meant for all beekeepers, long-timers, and those just starting their journey with bees. So sit back and enjoy the next several minutes as Kim and Jim explore all things honeybees.
You know, once you get that, you go to get the package, you get it home, you get a couple bees in the car and things get exciting, get it out to the bee yard, you have everything ready, you open the top, you dump the bees in, everything looks good, you put the cover on and you walk away, and a week later you come back, or 2 days later you come back, and yeah,
you can number down to what, about 10 to 12 things, and Kim, this year's big obstacle that Jeff and I have talked about was how cold it was. And the weather was restrictive, and so it makes everything on that list even more of a listed item, because the coldness exaggerates and exacerbates everything.
It does. It makes it hard for the bees to get to food. It just makes it hard for the bees. You know, one thing that's, I'm going to say, fairly common, but common enough it needs to be mentioned, is that you've got this queen in a cage, you've got the bees in the hive, you put the queen down between the frame right in the middle of the brood nest, and you close it up, and you come back in 3 days, and she's dead.
Yep.
In the cage.
Yep. You know that moment? Been there, done that kind of thing, when you stand there, and you realize she's dead, she's not even moving, there's going to be no resuscitation of this insect. No heroic measures will bring this bug back. What are you going to do then? Okay, you got a broodless, small, 3 pounds or so at the most of bees that have no hope of anything but a certain death if you don't step in and take over. So at that point, what happens, Kim? The devil always becomes what's in the details. Did you buy more than one package? If you bought more than one package, then you're obviously going to combine it.
Yep. If you're lucky and you know somebody that's got queens that lives next door, you can make that work. But if you got to drive 20 miles to get another queen, then that's a day off from work or whatever, however you're going to make it work. But you got to get those bees back to a queen, one way or another.
To at least something that can become a queen.
Yes.
So okay. if the ones who always... My heart hurts for the most are the brand new beekeepers. First year, first season, first package, first hive. And what they've got is maybe two packages. In many instances, one package. 10 frames of foundation and a nice, whitely painted, brand new beehive and a dead queen in a cage. I mean, you are looking at a story that has no happy ending possibility. They've got to find someone in a bee club and at the very least borrow a frame of open brood. And that's going to be a long, torturous process to get the queen drawn out from that. But it's possible. But make that 30-mile drive you talked about. I think you said 20. I'm thinking 35 because it's a 35-mile drive for me. Dash up someplace and get a queen. You know, you could go showing up and saying, the queen died, and see if they'll stand by it. But normally, package producers don't guarantee the queens anymore, do they?
Well, something called a taillight guarantee. As long as I can see your taillights, yeah. I guarantee that queen.
Yeah.
But after that, she's yours.
Well, there's no reason. There's no reason to go back in time, but they used to stand by the queens more when queens are more plentiful and they were not so difficult and expensive to raise as they are now. But I bet you more often than not, they just can't cover the mistakes that new beekeepers everywhere can make. So what's the options does a beekeeper have, the new beekeeper? You probably got to go back and buy another queen, and you need to do it quickly because those bees are not getting any younger, and they're not being replaced. And so every day that passes, you've lost more and more of the original, roughly 3 pounds that you put in.
Yeah, so it's get those bees to a queen somehow. Either get them into another hive that's got a queen, get some open brood in there so they can raise a queen, or go get a queen someplace.
Yep.
Somehow. But, you know, I'll tell you something that's even more dramatic. Is you go out there after 3 or 4 days and you take a look and there's nobody flying out the front door and you take the cover off and that colony is empty. That they have absconded, left, gone. Yeah.
You're just going straight for the throat on this list, aren't you? I mean, a dead queen was bad enough, but at least... you've got a remote chance of doing something. We talked about a few of those things you can do, but if they absconded, you've just got a box of equipment that you can use. Sometimes you can make it into a flower planter, or it has limited secondary uses, but an empty beehive is just that. That brand new box is not even a good swarm trap if there's not some drawn comb in it. So if those bees absconded, you're basically just probably starting over next year or finding a friend who will sell you a split or something. Why would they abscond? Who knows, Kim?
One thing to consider on this, and I've had it happen to me, is they absconded, but they went right next door to a colony that I had sitting there, and suddenly I had a colony next door that had twice as many bees in it.
Yep.
So that can happen. They may have left the one you put them in and gone to some place that seemed friendlier, maybe an established colony that had the odors and the food and things that they were used to. But if you don't have another colony, or they didn't go to that one and they're somewhere in the woods, you can, I'm going to say this carefully, kiss that one goodbye.
Okay. Give me just a minute to think about this and get my thoughts together while we hear from our sponsor.
Hey, podcast listeners. If you've got a couple years of beekeeping under your belt and you're looking for a new challenge, available from BetterBee is the Hog Half Comb System, a mess-free comb honey system that you put on a strong hive for your bees to fill. Made of 32 to 40 individual food-grade recyclable cassettes, it only takes popping off the covers and sticking on your labels to get your half combs ready for sale. Visit betterbee.com/HOGG today to learn more and start making your own mess-free comb honey.
Well, if you can kiss it goodbye partially too, Kim. This happened right now this year, and I haven't addressed it, but I will. Is that they drift some. I just bought 2 packages this year. I bought them. I told them, I've discussed in other segments and other articles that I basically bought the packages because I knew how bad the weather was going to be. And I just needed to kind of stay in shape with gritting your teeth and worrying. And I got my money's worth on that. But after all is said and done, queens are released, feeder cans are off, and the colony is, on its own. It's running now. One's about half the size of the other. Now, I've got other bees in the yard. They could have drifted other places, but the other package is considerably larger. But now, I don't want to fix it if it's working. So let everything stabilize. Let that queen establish herself as the domain queen. Get a brood nest going, and then when everything is alive and well and everybody seems okay and the clover bloom is well underway, then it'll be a more appropriate time to make some changes to equalize the brood and the population so that those colonies are much more similar.
Yeah, that works. And you just kind of look at it and go, well, next year. And which is something beekeepers tend to say a lot.
But. Yeah. That list I told you, 1 to 14. Next year it'll be 7, 9, and 12. This year it was 1, 6, and 3 on the list that caused you grief. But, it's an artificial swarm, Kim, is all it is. I mean, when a beekeeper hives a swarm, every swarm is unique. we kind of standardize the package swarm because we know when it's going to come in. You go pick it up. It's got a queen inside. You don't have to find her like you do on the natural swarm sometimes. So all we're doing is hiving an easy swarm. But that doesn't mean it's an easy swarm to hive every time. There's variables that are included in this.
I'll tell you a variable. Here's a good one. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen this happen. You pick up two packages and you go to the package store and you get two of them and they look identical and everything is fine and the feeder cans are about half full. So they've got food and the queen's moving around in the cage and you get home and you get them installed and you come back in 3 days and both queens have been released. The bees got them out of the cage. But one queen is laying already and she's got part of a frame full of eggs and so a little bit of brood. The other one is just walking around, not doing anything. She's not dead. And she's maybe she's laying, maybe she's not, but she's not laying nearly as much as the other queen that you picked up the same day. So how long do you wait to see if she's going to start?
I think you're setting me up. I think I told you I had that situation. And it's one of those nights that you lie there recounting all the things you've done, thinking, was this the right thing to do? Should I have done something differently? It's that beekeeper second guess that you do around a quarter of midnight at night when you can't doze off. And my second guessing was, should I have left that queen in there? She was doing exactly what you're saying. She had a spotty pattern. And I intended to go back and to tell the package producer, well, that didn't work. She's not laying correctly, and see if I could shame them into something. But, you know, I said it's a 35-mile drive one way for me, and it just didn't work out. I told you, as we've discussed, it was cold this spring and messy and snowy, and I just never made the trip. But she was holding the fort. But I meant to replace her. After about 10 to 12 days of seeing that she's just not performing. But after that, the season progressed. I went about my business. Grass was growing last season. And that colony began to explode. And it was one of the ones that was a real late bloomer. And it's one of mine that wintered the best this year and has already tried to swarm this season on a queen that I intended to replace. So you ask a fundamental question that I don't have a fundamental answer for. How long do you wait? Well, if she looks like a good queen, if she carried herself regally, if she had a nice full abdomen and she had a nice retinue around her, I would wait longer. If she was kind of a skaggy queen, undersized, the characteristics I didn't just list, I would probably rush that 35-mile trip up a bit. There's no clear answer, Kim.
Yeah,
you're never going to have every colony perfect. It's just never going to happen. You're always going to have the good ones and the needy ones, and you always work on the needy ones because the good ones are okay.
I heard what I heard you just say. You can't have every colony be perfect. I'm kind of looking for the day when I can have any colony be perfect.
And you know, the thing is, while we're reminiscing and pining about this, perfection is just for the moment. I mean, a perfect colony is not going to stay perfect. It's going to lose a queen. It's going to swarm. The season's going to pass. It's going to get hit with pesticides or varroa populations. So when you have that beautiful colony that looks like it's near perfection, you need to make a lot of pictures.
Yeah, I was going to say, take a picture because it ain't going to last long.
Yep.
Well, that's, you know, we're sitting here yapping about packages, but these are the things that happen to packages, not the good things, but the things that aren't good. You know, you got a dead queen, or the queen dies right away, or she isn't laying, or the colony absconds. All of these things can happen, and be ready for all of them because they're all going to happen to somebody listening out there.
Yep. Someone's going to have something happen that we weren't expecting. Now, we have done this package thing for a long time, and the beekeeping industry, the beekeeping system has a good handle on this. So it's, I guess it's like some medical procedure. This should be the outcome. Good chances of this being the outcome. These are some of the things that can go wrong, but we're ready for them. And whatever goes wrong, you deal with. But one of the fundamental reasons that we always say buy two packages,
yeah,
is that you've got something to use as a tool to help the other one if it didn't make it for whatever reason.
That's good advice. Good advice. Have two. One can help fix the one that doesn't go as well as you think. Yeah, well, we're running out of time here, and I think we've covered a bunch of stuff on that can go wrong with packages. Good luck with yours this year.
Thanks a lot. If someone had something go wrong they want to tell us about, something unique, a tree fell, a thunderbolt, or who knows what, let us hear from you. Write us. We always appreciate you interacting with us.
Yep, yep.
All right. I am going out. I truly am going out later today and check those two packages specifically. So I'll get back to you some other time. To you and everybody else. Goodbye.